Thank you, Wanda. Do you consider it a compliment to be called shrewd? If someone said he or she is a really shrewd person, is that a plus? Shrewd has a mixed bag as an adjective, as a compliment. But I looked it up in the dictionary, and shrewd actually means someone who uses a sharp intelligence in a practical way. That's a good thing, isn't it? Someone who sees acutely the need and uses a sharp intelligence in a practical way. This scripture is a hard one. It's one that pastors notoriously dread having to preach from because it's very complicated and there don't seem to be any real heroes in the parable. A dishonest manager, well, we've all experienced those, who evidently gets caught in some shady dealings, and the owner of the whole business says, "Buddy, I'm calling you on the carpet. You're losing me money." Now remember, in the traditional Middle East, there was a whole string of relationships that tied up in what's being described here. There would be an owner who would require so much return on his land, so much wheat, so much olive oil, and so on. Then there would be the manager who went and collected probably from all of the tenant farmers. And the way the manager made his income was to overcharge people on what he collected. It was all part of the system. It was all dishonest wealth. And of course, the real work was on the backs of whom? On the peasants, on the laborers who got very little for their efforts. But Jesus says, you know, the children of the world are better at being shrewd. And he gives us a poke in the elbows toward shrewdness, toward intelligent, practical responses to the world. Well, I don't know about you, but this is still a difficult text for me. So I decided I would do something new this week. I would take this text and I would read it in three very different places. You know, usually I just read it in my study or I read it at home. And I thought, well, maybe I'll get it better if I read it somewhere else. So the first place I took my Bible was UVA Med. And all these folks were coming and going. It's such a busy place. You know, the sick never get to rest, do they? Nor the staff who serves them. People were lining up for coffees and they were being pushed in chairs and they were going here and there. I read that passage. I read about being shrewd, and I thought, you know, if I had somebody I loved in this hospital who needed a form of care that they weren't getting, I would be willing to be shrewd to see that they got it. Would you? I'd be willing to go park myself in front of the nurse's desk and say, "Excuse me, need some help here." Have you ever done that? Probably irritating as I'll get out to the nurses, but it gets some action. Of course, nurses are brave and overworked. I'm not criticizing, but I'd be willing to do that. I'd be willing to do other things that were shrewd as well if I thought somebody's physical well-being depended on it. When there's a sense of urgency, when it really matters, shrewdness kind of comes to the fore. Well, I read it again at Raven's Roost up on the Blue Ridge Parkway. Ever been up there? Oh, that's a great place to be. We're getting ready for a wedding on Friday afternoon, and I was talking to the family, and we agreed that we would be willing to be shrewd if certain things happened to shatter the peace. It's a very peaceful place. They had a fabulous violinist who was playing up on a rock. It was heaven. But the dad and the bride and I decided, well, what if a whole bunch of people on motorcycles came by and they came real close and revved their engines? What would we do? Well, Father, the bride said, that's a no-brainer. I would go right away and ask them to cut the noise. We have a wedding. And I said, me too. And I thought about it. You know, normally, even though I did ride a little Kawasaki in college, normally, I wouldn't wander into a group of big motorcycle guys and say, "Hey, fellas, cut the noise." But if it was important enough, would you? Sure you would. Absolutely. We didn't have to do that. And most motorcyclists would have been very happy to cooperate. Well, the third place I went to read this scripture today was at Target. If anybody was at Target yesterday, the management must have been wondering about the odd woman wandering around with her Bible open. And I thought, huh, shrewd at Target. In some ways, I get this better because I love a bargain. You all love a bargain? And I looked at everything I was going to get, and they said, well, if you buy all your personal care products at once, you know, your toothpaste and your shampoo and your soap, and you spend $20, they're going to give you a $5 gift card back. I thought, hot dog, you know, you can always use shampoo, just load it up. So then I went, I had these other things in my cart that I wanted to get, but I hid them around the corner, and I went and paid for my personal care products, got my $5 off card, came back around, got my cart. I think I saw the floor supervisor looking at me when I did it. He was like, really, lady? Went through the line and I got another $5 off. I was very pleased with myself. Then I asked myself, why am I so much more eager to be shrewd when it benefits me than when maybe it benefits other people? Jesus is saying, you know, the Christian church, the body of Christ, is called to a level of shrewdness. Now, if we were really shrewd, and we are, we would open our doors every chance we got to invite folks in to bridge events, into concerts, into a blessing of the animals. That's shrewd, isn't it? That's good. If we were really shrewd, we would have a place in this church, classrooms, a coffee bar, where people who are not churchy would feel comfortable. That would be shrewd, wouldn't it? I think I've told you I often head down to the French Press coffee house, just down the hill this way. It's great. If I go out the private entrance to my office, straight down that hill, that's where I end up. What I've found is in the back room of the coffee shop are people who are generally not churchy, who talk about things that we don't usually talk about. And that's been a blessing to me, to hear them and to share in conversation. I continue to meet with my Unitarian Universalist friend who, whenever I talk about faith, listens carefully and then says periodically, yes, but I'm a Universalist and an atheist. And you know my mantra, you do it too. I said, we love Universalists who are atheists. They are among our favorite people. You should come visit us. Be shrewd. Take the opportunity that God is giving us. You know, St. Augustine, one of the great saints of the church, reminded us, things are to use, people are to love. The manager in this parable really was using people, wasn't he? He was using people for his own gain, squeezing them too hard to make a living. But when push came to shove and he realized he was going to be out of a job, he didn't want to dig ditches, he didn't want to beg, he realized that relationships are what are most important in the world. Amen? We're only different as Christians in that we would say first our relationship with God and then with one another. Because this parable really is about three sets of relationships, isn't it? It's a strained relationship between an employer and an employee. Anybody ever been there? Ugh, that's not fun. That is really not fun. Where you know, I really might get the axe. Might be today, might be next week. Might be my best friend instead of me. That's awful too. It's about a strained relationship, excuse me. And the second set of relationships are about debts and debtors. Now, the truth is that the very poor, the bottom of the ladder to which this manager was going, the very poor never get out of debt. They don't have the means to. Those folks in Guatemala City that Matthew and Lisa were talking about, they are so poor, they do not even have one foot on the lowest rung of the economic ladder. If they are born into debt, they're going to die in it. Unless there is what? forgiveness of that debt. That's the world our Lord Jesus lived in when he taught his disciples to pray what? Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive the debts of other people, which also includes monetary debts of folks who absolutely cannot pay. The third set of relationships in this are the new relationships between the manager and the folks whose debts he has forgiven and with whom he knows reconciliation. Even though this manager is not a poster boy, he's not a Boy Scout when it comes to doing the right thing, he recognizes the importance of being savvy in human relationships. Because people are to love and things are to use. We cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve the things of the world, wonderful though they are. I don't know about you, but I'm really grateful I have a house to live in. I'm really grateful I have a bed to sleep in. That's a good thing that all God's people, all people, period, should have. But what is ultimately important are our relationships, especially those who do not feel comfortable within the family of God, who don't feel comfortable in the church. We who live in the world have a tremendous opportunity to know them, to love them, and to welcome them unconditionally. I think this acquaintance of mine who keeps saying I'm a universalist and an atheist, it's kind of cute. She said it so often. I'm getting used to it. I think what she may really be saying is, are you really good for it? Are you really willing to be my friend? Are you really, really willing not to judge me? Do you really think maybe you could learn something from me as a human being? We cannot serve two masters. God is a God of holy relationship. God calls us to community. In fact, God is a community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God asks us to be people on mission to relationship building, to accept people as they are, love them as they are, bring them into the presence of God, and trust him to do all the work that needs to be done. Amen.